And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
How do I sound now? I sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
And it's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldrich here in D.C. In the Bay, Marcus Thompson, and our guest this week, the esteemed reporter and columnist from the Boston Globe, covers the Celtics better than anybody, our guy Gary Washburn. What up, G-Wash?
What up, fellas? How you doing, man? This is great. Great to be here.
G-Wash used to be my OG.
You know what I'm saying?
Way back.
Also, the esteemed co-author of the Spencer Haywood Rule with our guy Mark Spears. Great book about Spencer Haywood's journey and how he became a real trendsetter and trailblazer in the NBA game. By all means, get that probably in paperback now, right? Right, G-Wash?
Yeah. Still hardback too, but yeah, Amazon.
You know what's funny? Do they even buy paperbacks anymore? Do people even do that? I don't know if people do that.
Now it's audio. It's an audio thing. So.
Oh, by the way, who did you do an audio book?
We did not do an audio book. We're working on that.
I wonder who you could get to. Who would you want to read the audiobook if it's not you or Spears?
I don't know. Maybe Spencer or, you know, we all have like James Earl Jones, Morgan Freeman.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know.
Right.
People with the great voices. I don't know.
Right.
Great
right.
Question.
Denzel. Yeah. Fishburne.
Yeah. They ain't got no. They got plenty of free time. Right.
Right. Right.
Joe Moore. A book on MLK I'm reading right now or listening to. Joe Morton does the.
Does he really?
Voice. Oh, yeah. Great. So yeah, we'll find somebody with a cool voice, you know.
Yeah, Wendell Pierce would be great too.
Oh man, are you serious?
Yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah, I love that guy.
I can't even believe he like follows me on Twitter. I'm like, damn,
really?
Oh yeah, that's like a big deal to me.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I wanted to go up. This is, I think it's the last week he's doing Death of a Salesman up in Broadway. I really wanted to go see him while he was doing it, but I probably won't make it. Probably not. But gee, let's talk about your Celtics back on top in the East now after that inexplicable, little bounce. It happens in the season, little lulls and whatnot. But they got, the big thing is that, Robert Williams is starting again, right? So, mm-hmm. I know he's going to be in a pitch count basically the whole regular season, right?
Yeah. They don't, obviously, as much as getting number one seed would be important to them in home court throughout the playoffs, they want to make sure that Robert Williams is healthy throughout the playoffs. You know, who knows what would have happened if they would have had a healthy Williams in the finals. I don't know if they win the series, obviously maybe go seven, or do they sneak that game, that kind of pivotal game four that kind of changed the series. But as we all know, they know that he's not a durable kind of guy. He's not a guy who will play through injuries. He has a propensity to get hurt. So you want to keep him on essentially bubble wrap until the playoffs, play him 22, 24 minutes a game, and hope that you can kind of grab that number one seed.
It's fascinating to me that they are not dependent is the wrong word, because they obviously won a lot of games without him, but they are so different with him. Is that because they're just so big with him and Horford up front and Tatum?
Yeah, and they don't have that rim protector other than him. Like, he is the guy that just, you know, shoos away guys trying to drive to the paint. They make different decisions when he's in the paint as opposed when it's Horford. I just think he has that presence, and he brings something they hadn't had for years. I mean, you could probably bring up, and I don't want to compare him to Kevin Garnett, but just that guy who was like, oh, no, not here. Like,
right.
You know, take that mid-range. Okay.
Yeah, right.
You're not getting any further.
Right.
And I think that's what they've missed. They missed that during those times that they were facing the Cavs in the playoffs with LeBron, right, and in the bubble. They just never had that, like, rim protector. And Robert Williams, you know, like, you know, he had a slow start to his career and kind of, it was kind of a question whether he was going to be a productive NBA player. But once it kind of clicked in that he could be a defender who could kind of impactful defender, one of the best probably big man defenders in the league, it changed everything for the Celtics.
There, it's funny to me because there's guys in the league that are gettable that do that very thing, right? Like Clint Capella comes to mind, Daniel Gafford down here in D.C. There's guys that do that, that you could probably get for relatively inexpensively, you know, like you don't have to pay him a ton of money. And I know they've tried, right? They've gone through a bunch of guys that they've cycled in and out. Yeah. I just wonder why they have had so much trouble. Because Al was always kind of an opportunistic rim protector. Like he would do it in a key moment. But he was never that guy, to your point, that would like for 40 minutes make people think twice about coming down the lane. I just wonder why they haven't been successful in getting that guy to play with Robert so that they don't depend on Robert so much.
Yeah, that was interesting. I know a few years ago they tried to make a bid for JaVale McGee.
Another one of those guys
who can impact the game and has gotten a lot smarter and more savvy and intelligent over his career. And I mean, let's be honest, David. I mean, you were there when he got there. I don't think any of us would have guessed he'd be 13.
He's had the most unexpectedly good career in modern NBA history.
Three titles. Like, I don't think anyone would have expected he'd be 13 years in and still on a roster. But I think they've tried, but they just haven't. And this team hasn't spent a lot of money in that position. I mean, they got Horford, they got Hayward. You know, they developed Tatum and Brown, you know, the Kyrie time. They really never said, okay, here's $60 million. Let's go get a big, you know. Yeah. And teams like the Wizards, when they kind of, you know, discover guys like Gafford, it kind of, you know, it's like a circumstance, you know, like I don't think the Wizards, when they made that trade with the Bulls, was like, Gafford's the guy we want.
The guy, but just to supplement. Yes. You know, if you know
and then he
Robert
becomes
Williams,
this kind of game changer, right?
Yeah. So yeah,
I think that they drafted Williams for that purpose because he was kind of a guy who could jump out the gym at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But it's taken him a while to develop. And, you know, physically, I don't think he was ready for the league, as a lot of guys are when they come into the NBA. Physically, they're just not ready for the pounding of 82 games or even 70 games. So I think, you know, obviously they signed to a very valuable and market, like a, you know, worthy extension that saves them money. They don't have to worry about him for a minute. So, he just is a game changer for them. And I think that they're pleasantly surprised as a 27th pick that he turned into this guy.
No question. Now they brought Blake Griffin in, but is that just, I mean, is he play any meaningful role that you see going forward?
Yeah, he's more of a leader off the floor. You know, it just seems like yesterday he was jumping over kids, right?
Exactly.
He just does his left leg, like he kind of walks. I mean, he is in amazing shape. Like that dude is still a very imposing looking guy. It's just those legs have just taken gone. Such a beating that he can give you 20 minutes here and there. Give you a flash of 5 minutes, but to play him 30, I think he played 30 one time this year. He's just kind of like a spot guy. And I think he's okay with that. I think he likes, obviously still likes playing. He likes being in the NBA. He has a chance to win a championship. That hasn't happened for him. So yeah, I think when they got Blake, they understood like, this is not going to be a guy that will play, let's say 15 to 20 minutes a game or 18 minutes a game as a backup center. It's going to be spot here and there. And it's kind of sad. And I said, I like Blake. I've gotten to know him. Like, he's just, you can see that little limp, you know, you see,
as
David, we've seen, and Marcus, guys who retire and, you know, they got a little gimp in their step.
None of them walk right.
Yeah. Nope. You kind of see that from Blake. Right. Like there's, you know, he's just that left leg isn't quite right.
It's weird to see a guy like who used to jump that high, like under the basket pump faking. You know what I'm saying? Like you just don't see it be like,
retirement is right. You know, when you start pump fake. Then what Chris Webber said when he when it was over, he was pump faking and whatever. That's the only way to get a shot up. So, yeah, and this is guys that came into the league and not that long, you know, 2009.
With Steph. With Steph Curry,
Blake was in Steph's class. And, you know, it's hard. You see the toll that these guys, you know, accept and take, and that it's going to affect the rest of their lives physically. But I said, they like having Blake around. He is really bonded. He's a leader. And the one thing that I think that we've learned, that humility is a big deal, because even a decade ago, when we were all covering the league, there were 35, 36 year olds on rosters. Yes. They were guys who were pros. Now the league has said, unless you're going to be a real good leader, we'll take a G League kid.
Right, put him
in your spot. So the old heads are kind of gone. What did Bernie Mac say? When Bernie Mac said, "What's Big Mom? How old's Big Mama now? 39?"
I don't remember that. What do
you? Oh, Big Mama, 39, 38. So, you know, your old head now is like 30. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Your old head has been out of college for 9 years. Like, Tyrone Corbins or Robert Perry. Yeah. Like, just so I think when you're Blake and you have that humility to want to play, like Vince Carter gained that humility. Like, probably play more minutes, but you know what? I want to stick around. You have that mentality. Teams will want to keep you around. But if you've got that, I need to be starting over him. And you're 34, the league will usher you out.
Yeah, Jamal Crawford talked a lot about that in his last few years. He's like, man, I could, you know, he'd be great in a locker room, right? He'd be incredible.
Yes.
But he couldn't get a shot. I wanted to ask you, there was a stretch there starting with the loss to the Warriors where the Celtics looked like completely inept. And it was like, yo, what? What the hell is happening, right? Like, they clearly fixed it. So, in hindsight, what the hell was happening with them?
I think, the first 25 games, they were making every damn shot. I mean, they were like the Globetrotters out there. Then the Warriors put it on them defensively. Tatum got frustrated. Then shots stopped falling. And they had to learn how to win when shots aren't falling. They beat the Bulls on Monday and shot 11 for 41 from three. Like, that's you got to win those games with good teams. They're great when the three is falling. I mean, they're damn near unbeatable, but the threes stopped falling. Guys all went to a collective slump, and they had to figure out how to win when those things weren't happening. And then they struggle against teams that are big. Orlando, they lost back to back at home. Orlando's a big ass team. I mean, you talking about
like huge, bro. You've seen
them, the Wagners. Yeah,
there's some cornbread dudes on that team. Right. Yeah.
Wendell Carter, Bo, like, you know, Bamba. Right.
Waves. Yeah. They keep throwing them. Yeah.
They got like seven guys that are like 6'11 and up.
Like Jalen Suggs is their little guy.
Yeah. Right. So the Celtics ran into them, and them dudes was like, we just going to pound the paint. And there was no Robert Williams. So there are very few of them, little of them. So, like, they had to learn how to win in different ways. And I think Mazzulla has, you know, preached patience that this was going to happen. So they were able to get out of that. They were able to learn how to win games a tough way. Their defense improved throughout December, even though their offense stagnated. So they have figured out ways to win games. And as you see, like the Christmas Day game against Milwaukee, when they shot 58%, like they scored 140 on
that the was plus. Like crazy,
but
bro.
That's great. And that's what happened the first 25 games. But this team has got to learn, and they are learning to win with defense and points in the paint, et cetera, without the three.
It's funny to me because they shoot almost 40. I mean, I think almost 48% of their field goal attempts are threes. So I mean, that's their thing, right? Like they are not. And Al Horford doesn't even attempt any twos anymore. He's like, it's all three or nothing.
He's a reluctant post scorer. He's like, okay. Like, you got to be, Muggsy Bogues going up against him and then see him see the mismatch and then be like, okay, I guess I can shoot over you. Like, he is reluctant in terms of, and he's got the little jump hook that he learned in Atlanta. He can score at the rim. He'll do it. But he's more of a 3-point shooter.
Hey, man, he's shooting 43%.
I get it. But
that has extended Al's career. Al was not a 3-point shooter.
He was not. He wasn't.
He got to Boston and learned how to shoot from the perimeter and probably extended his career 5 years or whatever. Right. So, yeah, like they liked it. The good thing for them is Tatum and Brown have gotten better, especially Tatum at attacking the rim. Tatum has learned, I can take this contested three, it looks pretty, or I can go to the free throw line, and now he's getting calls that he didn't get a couple years ago. So he's doing well getting to the line, and he's figured out ways that he should have used in the finals against Wiggins, but Wiggins had him on lockdown, to get to the rim and get to the free throw line. And I think that's what's helped their offense too.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Obviously, Tatum, like, has been incredible, right? And he's, you know, favorite, one of the top candidates for MVP. How is Jaylen Brown handling all this? I mean, he's playing incredibly. He's not shooting his three, and he's up to a career high in points. Like, he's efficient from the field. Like, I mean, he's playing incredibly, and nobody cares. Like, how is that landing, especially for a guy who might have a choice to where he plays in the future?
Yeah. They're going to have to decide. I mean, he's coming up and then Tatum's coming up. And it was funny when Tatum signed an extension, the 5-year, like 195, like it was, I think the final year was $37 million. And it was like, wow, that's a lot of money. Like, and it was like, what, 2 years ago? And now $37 million ain't so much, right? When dudes is making 50 and Dame making 60.
That's minimum wage.
Yeah, so Jason is like laughing at that. Like, you think, like, I ain't opting in, bro. Like, you know, so Jason's about to get the super duper max.
The full bill, as we call it here in DC.
Yeah, the bill. He's getting the bill. He's getting the bill. And so, but Jaylen Brown is coming up too. And the good thing about, it's always been good with those two is they get along, okay?
Yeah.
And they're different cats. And I think us being, you know, older, assume that all these young dudes all listen to Drake. They all got Instagram. They all, like, they're all the same.
Nah, Jaylen is 74 years old.
Yeah, Jaylen's an old soul, right?
Yes.
They are different cats. Jason's a dad. Jaylen, you know, Jaylen's traveling Africa. Jason just goes to St. Louis. Like, but they get along and they have a very healthy respect for each other. And I think that that's the one thing. I don't think there's like a jealous. Do I think Jaylen looks at Jason and be like, I want to be that too? Of course. But I don't think he's jealous of Jason. Like, man, that dude ain't as good as me. Like, you know, I don't think that's what goes on here. I think that they compete and I think it's a healthy competition and I think they get along and I think they look up. And I think what helps is the tradition of the franchise. When Kirk comes back, when Garnett comes back, when Pierce comes back.
And Eddie House.
And they look at
greatest
the
interview ever.
Yeah, Eddie's great. That's your Hayward's own.
That's what I'm talking about. Hayward. You know how we doing the Bay.
Oh, Lord.
East Bay's own, Eddie House. So when those numbers are raised in the rafters and those guys come back, like, they look to Taylor and Brown like, okay, so when you gonna put up number 18? They feel kind of a collective, like, damn, we want to be part of that tradition. And it sounds corny. And for some young, And for some young players, it's like, man, where my papers at? I don't care about no truth. But for them, I think so many dudes come back, and especially, no offense, black players come back to Boston at them and be like, this is a great place to play. It's a great place to be a retired. You'll never have to buy a beer in town. You'll never have to do, like, you will be revered. And I think those dudes see that and say, we need to make that happen for us. And secondly, we need each other to make that happen. So they realize the importance of each other. I don't think Tatum says, man, I can win this thing without Jalen. I don't think that happens. I think both of them realize they need each other. So I think Jalen, does he want what Tatum has? Yeah, Tatum on a million commercials and all that, Ruffles. I don't think Jalen's off for the marketing.
Right. Yeah.
But I think Jalen feels like, I can be a top five player too. But there's also holes in his game, the ball handling at times, the free throw shooting, some of the turnovers. So Jalen knows that he's not a perfect player, but I think that they push each other, but in a positive way.
It just feels like it could be like a – more of a, like a, you know, there's KD and Kyrie, there's Steph and Clay, but it's like, feels like it's all Jason.
Well, this is like, to me, this is like Stockton and Malone, because everybody thought Stockton and Malone were all tight and shit off the court, and they weren't. Like, they just weren't. Like, you know, they loved each other as players, but they didn't hang out and go vacation with each other's families. You know what I mean?
They're cool. Like, I think Jason
they're cool, but cool, yeah, exactly.
But they're different dudes. Yeah. But they love the game. I think they like their environment. And I think Jalen, when Jalen comes up, because he comes up a year before Jason, you know, he's gonna want to get built. He's gonna get the Beal deal too. So do you pay two guys the Beal deal? You obviously give it to Jason.
It's going to be the three of us playing with him.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be the main Celtics out there.
You know what I'm saying? But look, I want to get back to the thing you mentioned, because I think it's very important. This is why I think KG's legacy is so important to the Celtics' legacy, because KG could have gone there and said, this shit is whack, man. I ain't talking about no Celtic pride. Fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, this is bullshit. I ain't doing that. I'm not feeling it. I don't care about it. I don't care about the mystique or the leprechauns and nothing. And he bought all the way in. He went all the way in on it. And all due respect to Ray Allen and to a certain extent, even Paul Pierce. But if KG has said, I ain't about that.
Totally.
It would have stopped in its tracks. It would have been over.
Changed the culture.
And I just think that's so important.
They made Boston a place where black players felt comfortable. They thought of D. Brown getting stopped in Cambridge and hassled. They thought of just the culture of, like, you know, it's a white city and they only gonna support white players, but that's not the case. What I've seen. I'm from Los Angeles. Marcus, I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. I grew up a Lakers fan. I grew up 5 minutes from the Forum. So I came to Boston like, okay, what's up? Who got beat?
You know, Englewood!
Like, yeah. I came here expecting some static. And what I've seen is the players have been treated well. They enjoy playing here. They enjoy the environment and they enjoy the support. And I think, like you said, David, Kevin Garnett was the ring leader of that kind of, like, they have learned, because remember, Paul got off to a rough start and the team had lost 18 in a row before KG and Ray got there, and they're thinking of firing Doc. And
they're going to fire Doc. They're going to trade Paul.
Paul asked for, then they asked for a trade. Like, they was going to blow it all up. And they were, because they remember their future was Gerald Green and Al Jefferson and Young Perk, and that was supposed to, and Sebastian Telfair. And
that was the big three.
That was supposed to be their future. And that, they were like, okay, we got to make a little pivot here from that. So I think you're right. Garnett set the tone for that. And now when he comes back, when Pierce comes back, sitting courtside, and, you know, like, the dudes are like, this must be something about this place that makes Eddie House, is our friend Eddie House, and Perk, like, they affiliate themselves. I mean, House played with a couple of other teams. Perk finished his career in Cleveland, but they associate themselves, affiliate with the Celtics. You don't hear KG talking about playing with the Nets. You know, like, no. You know what I'm saying? You don't hear Paul about the, you know, that year he spent with the Nets. You know, and then he obviously the went to the Wizards and, you know.
Clippers.
They're Celtics. And I think that that has had a definite impact on the guys who have been here, like Jason and Jalen, and say they want to see their number retire. Like, who doesn't want to get the love and get their flowers? Like, even, I don't care where it is, you know, Charlotte, Minnesota, you know, wherever it is, they want to see their number in the rafters too. Like, so I think that's important.
Yeah, that's amazing
to me. It's hugely important, especially considering, like, the legacy of the Celtics is built on black players. Like,
But you know, I mean, first of all, what team's legacy isn't built on black players? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, every team in the league's legacy.
I don't know about the Trailblazers.
The Minneapolis Lakers, you know what I'm saying? But you know, guys, I mean, people don't care about history. So even somebody like Bill Russell, who was revered and beloved, it would have been very easy for guys.
Saying, there's a book about this, Gary Washburn. It's called Dynasties. It goes over the history.
Still available on Amazon. It would have been very easy for the young guys to walk away from that and say, yeah, we love Bill, but that was 60 years ago. And I think KG's the bridge, man. He's the guy that said, yeah, you should care about this stuff. It's important. You know?
Exactly. And especially you want the flowers, you want to be revered, and it's important. And I think these guys see, I don't think they think of the end of their careers, but they do, like, they do, you know, the whole generation now is getting their respect and don't hate on me. And they feel like they want to get that retirement. They want to be, when they walk in and people just clap for them, and when Paul Pierce, they show them on the screen and everybody just goes nuts. You know what I'm saying? Like, they look at that, they notice that. I remember Kevin Durant telling me, like, man, the Celtics, you know, do everything, and everybody thought he was gonna sign with Boston in 16, and obviously that didn't happen. But he was like, man, they do things right around here in terms of their retire, like how they treat their players. You know, whatever. I think, you know, he just, because he watched the, when the Nets came back with KG and Pierce and played the Celtics, and they did this whole standing O, they did a video, and I was watching that game, and man, that was great, you know. And I think players around the league noticed that.
One of the biggest moments during the final, the loudest that crowd got was when Eddie House was sitting courtside. They put him on the screen. He started going crazy. I was like, this is Eddie House. Like, going nuts, bro. It was like, Eddie House is a legend from Hayward in Boston.
I mean, he does TV now for the Celtics. That's the whole thing. It's like, once a Celtic, it sounds really corny. I get it. But it works.
It works. That's part of the mystique, man. I mean, it still resonates with the young guys, which is amazing to me. Like, amazing. I like the fact that they feel Gino and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, and you could look, that could easily be, that is some BS. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're all in on it. It's crazy.
It isn't. And I mean, last night when, like, Tatum had a breakaway dunk to seal it against the Bulls are giving them real problems this year. The Bulls, they don't want to see the Bulls in the first round, and then the crowd went nuts, and Tatum's like, yeah, you know, like, and Darnell Mayberry, our friend from The Athletic, was like, man, they went crazy. And it's like a Monday night game in January against the Bulls, who were 19-21. And I'm like, yeah, you get kind of used to that. But yeah, like, the environment and dudes that are considered, you know, like real bros, like Marcus Morris, Jay Crowder, like dudes that are like, you don't want to see the dark alley. Dudes that ain't into that stuff. Like actually playing in Boston. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, dudes that are NBA, I'll say NBA tough guys. You know, like, they liked it here. So I think that that's important to keep them together, you know, for the long-term future. But the Celtics, the ownership, like, Like, you know, you look at them and you're like, y'all know that is, y'all going to have to be in Joe Lacob territory to keep this team together. Like, y'all going to have to be swimming in luxury taxes. That's what happens when you get two lottery picks in a row and you draft Tatum and Brown. Like, you know, that's what Danny got you all them picks.
Life in the big city, man.
Yep.
Hey, don't worry. They're going to end that anyway on the next CBA because – Joe and them ain't letting that stand. They're gonna be like, we need to do something about this luxury tax. You watch.
You think so?
Watch. Oh, you watch.
You up watch. Or down? What do you mean? Get rid of it?
Something like.
Oh man, they're too many teams depending.
Too many
on
teams
that
get that
tax.
Money. Yeah, but
oh yeah. Oh,
but, they,
no,
but they won't get that money if people don't start paying it. Like if you got the whole league opting out of it.
Right. Well, I mean, but you know, your boy ain't going to do that now. Your boy's got, first of all, he got paid for that building.
Yeah, but so, he's going to get some support from the Celtics, right? He's going to get some support from some of these teams who drafted a couple of these guys, and now you got to pay him. And it's like, man, and I'll be a tax for drafting well? Like, I don't know about that. This is what they do. They create
they
a rule to protect themselves, and then it hurts them, and then they change the rule to something
change
that
the rule.
Don't hurt them.
They'll put one player outside of the luxury tax.
Yep.
You'll have a designated franchise player who can make whatever and will be counted outside of the luxury. They'll find something.
Yeah.
Like you said, they will always find something.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, G-Wash, does anybody ask about Ime and what's going on with that?
Man, why you got to bring up old stuff?
It just disappeared. Like,
it is something that you have to, like, it's the word Ime is not mentioned much anymore. The organization wants to move on, but it's hovering.
What about Udoka? Did he mention
still suspended, and they still haven't resolved it, and they still haven't named Joe Mazzulla permanent head coach.
That's crazy.
And everybody's trying to figure out what's
it's
wrong.
It's like they don't want to get over it.
Just hire him,
and then it's done.
I'll just tell you. Okay, so when it all went down, right? Yeah. I got so many calls and texts about this guy, like. My year covering Udoka was fine. He was very polite. He was businesslike. He was not open and friendly. He ain't Doc Rivers. Okay. He's not that engaging guy that makes you feel like $1 million when you talk to him like Doc does and some of these other coaches. He was all about business. I did hear about some of the things off the floor, not what he got suspended for, but I did think, you know, like, I'll just say this. So the local NABJ chapter in Boston was talking about, well, we should invite Nia Long and have like a evening with Ime and Nia, you know, because we all love black love, right?
Yeah. No, we just all love Nia.
Come on.
Well.
That too. So, I found it like, I was like, no, because they're not together. They co-parent, right? Mm-hmm. And so I knew throughout the year, and and I knew things, but as we've covered the league, there are coaches, executives that have nightlives, sure. Right? Right. That no, it's more than just the players. Okay.
Yeah.
There's people that work in management. There's people that are whatever, owners, coaches that get out, that do things, do their thing.
Just don't get arrested.
Yes. Well, exactly. That is not
don't
a
get
scoop.
Popped.
That is not a scoop. That's nothing yep. for me to report. That's not yep. for me anything for me to just be like, oh wow, that's let me write. No, because he's single. They're not married. So you hear about things, and that was all I heard. But once this all went down, I heard a lot more stuff that I could not yeah. report, rumors, right. things like that. And for me, I think the organization, we all were expecting more information to come out about something worse, mm-hmm. but we haven't heard a word. The organization has seemingly moved on. They like Joe Mazzulla as coach. I'd be shocked if he wasn't named the permanent head coach, considering they're 29-12, number one, and he's in his first damn year. But this thing is still hovering. And it's like, well, what are you going to do? What's right. going to happen in the organization? I know that they have had some real discussions about how I think a lot of women in the organization did not feel protected during yeah. that time because, right. you know, Twitter started trying to figure out who the woman was. Right. And they Which picked a lot heinous. Of the wrong women.
Even for Twitter, it was heinous.
Yeah, you it know. Was terrible. Even, you know, picking the wrong woman, like you said, it was even for Twitter was bad. And I know they've had discussions about improving how women feel comfortable in the organization. But right. in terms of, like, email or what – no, like no contact. The players don't talk about them. They did it first. They've just yeah. had to pivot. Everybody just had to move on. We have no, we hear things. I'm like, okay, well, is he allowed to go to a Celtic game? Is he allowed to go to an NBA game?
Right.
You know, has he signed something with the league or with the team that says, like, I will not attend any games? Or as my man Vinny Goodwill said, is it going to be like Five Heartbeats where he shows up at the like Eddie Kane talking about I'm back, I'm ready.
You want my spot, Flash?
Yeah, yeah. How's it feel to be me, Joe Mazzulla? Yeah. So, I mean, who knows if that it, what the conditions are? This is so cloudy and obviously unprecedented. And the thing is interesting, guys, is the NBA has said. Like the league has yeah. said, like that's y'all.
Not us.
Man. Yeah, our name is Paul.
I don't blame the league for the, by the way, for doing that.
Like, yeah.
I don't blame the league.
The league is like, hey, he's under your contract. He is your coach.
Yeah.
If he agrees to the suspension, we got nothing now. Do I think the league called the Nets and said, it's been yeah,
you
six
might
weeks.
About somebody else, dog.
Yeah, you might want to keep. You might want to like. Give Jock Vaughn five more games and then think about reconsider yeah. your decision.
Yeah.
So far, nothing. Now, when June comes and this suspension is supposed to be concluded or make some type of decision, I expect yeah. that, or I expect things to come out over the next few months. But I do think Ime will coach again somewhere. I do
oh,
think.
Oh, sure. Now, yeah, absolutely. Of course.
Is this a self-imposed exile? Like, is he kind of looking to the Celtics and say, let me out of this? Or is he saying, you know what? I need a year to be, you know, be with my yes. son,
right.
chill out in Portland or whatever. I just need a year to stay out the spotlight, keep my name out of people's mouths for a while because now my yeah. reputation is soiled. So
right.
we really don't know that.
Yeah. Maybe he said, I'll take the year.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe he did.
And he's getting paid. Like, he's not getting his full right. contract, but he's getting, I believe, well, so 50, about 50% of his deal. So,
yeah.
you know, I mean, it's an unprecedented situation. And I said, obviously, I think he'll coach again. I think he's a good coach. Do I think he needs to make some personal life adjustments and changes? Yes, considering the stuff I heard and how just – he got kind of filled with ego. He got drunk with ego. But I do think he'll get a second shot.
Do you think he, but that's one side of it. But do you think, are they still evaluating Mazzulla? Why wouldn't they just say, Ime's situation is its own thing, but Joe Mazzulla is the permanent head coach now. Why wouldn't they just do that? If they are, that's fine.
I don't think they're evaluating anymore. I think from the first, but I also think contractually I think there's something legal that's stopping them from that.
Okay.
Because they have avoided the issue. I asked Brad Stevens that, like, when we don't have any plans right now, we're good. Like, it's like, let things cool off some. But it's getting to a point where I think Joe goes to management and says, okay, I ain't putting in all this work and then going back to being like an assistant next year. Like,
right.
I want, like, you know, if not, I'm out. I'll shoot. With this year, if they go to the second round of the conference finals, David, as you know, Marcus, like, he can go somewhere else and coach. I mean, some team will hire. There's a lot of shaky coaches in our league. So he's marketable now. And he's 34 years old. I mean, he's only going to get better. Just like Will Hardy in Utah. I mean, he was on that staff last year, too. And let's see what he's done with the Jazz. So I think they've got to make some type of commitment. And I'm sure privately they probably said, Joe, it ain't going to happen right away. But let's just play this out. The one thing that Stevens told us was, it's Joe's show. Okay? Yeah. It's his show. So I'm not...
Right.
Coaching from I'm not playing Pat Riot or Eric Spoelstra or Stan Van Gundy in those days. I am not coaching from the general manager's box or upstairs. I'm not coaching. It's who he wants to play, how he wants to play. The style is all him. So I do think that's an indication he will be the permanent coach.
Gary, you watched the run to the finals and it was harrowing before the finals, right? Like, it was a lot of 7-game series. And it's hard not to look at that and say, yo, that took a toll, right? It definitely played a part. Obviously, Steph Curry was a huge part of it. But knowing they've gone through that, is it a concern now, the depth that they have? They're playing 8-9 guys, and 9 is Blake Griffin, right? Some of these guys, you know, like Peyton Pritchard, like, I feel like they're never overcoming what happened in the finals when they couldn't play. Right. How big of an issue is depth? Do they have enough to sustain another like long run to a title again?
Yeah, Marcus, I think Stevens will make another significant addition at the trade deadline. I think if you look at this season, okay, there's no great NBA teams, right? The West is up for grabs. The Warriors can win the West. Yeah. The Lakers could be the fourth. Like,
you gonna stop disrespecting the Denver Nuggets, man?
Man, I like the Nuggets, but I just don't trust them. I don't trust them. Like, I got burned too much by the Denver Nuggets, man. I gotta turn my head around. What? You know, like, I gotta count my money after I shake their hands. You know, like count my fingers in my hand, because I don't trust the Nuggets. And as much as they seem to be playing very well, I saw them whip the Celtics last week, like, I just don't know, right? But the West is wide open. The East is wide open. There's no great teams in the league this year. If the Celtics are the number one seed, there is no, you know, usually there's a team that's, you know, 34-7. The best record is 20. The best record is 12 losses. Like, it's a 58-win clip. So if your best, there could be no 60-win teams in the league this year. I don't know when the last time that's happened. So I think if you're the Celtics, and I think they think this is the year, okay? So we're going to do whatever it takes. If you're the Celtics, they're saying to themselves, we're going to do whatever it takes to get over that hump. And that, if that's adding another wing player, another shooter, because that was supposed to be Danilo Gallinari, but he's recovering from his ACL. Could he be back for the playoffs?
I forgot about that. Yeah,
that could be a guy who could be back for the second round. I mean, he's rehabbing, he's walking normally or whatever, but, you know, he tore it, I want to say, in late August. So
the summertime, right?
He was playing
abroad, right?
Yeah, for the Italian national team. Yeah. So they could add him in the postseason, but I think Brad Stevens says, I got to add another body to this team. And they got an open roster spot now. you know, I've always thought that over the last few weeks, they need another big. They need a meet. They need a – they don't have, as Doc Rivers once told me, every great team needs to have a crazy guy on it. They don't have a crazy guy. Like, every great team got to do the way ain't quite right.
Marcus Smart?
Yeah, but he's sort of kind of gotten better.
Robert Williams ain't crazy guy? He's a time lord.
Rob Williams ain't crazy. He's crazy. Good.
He's intimidating. Huh?
Marcus is your crazy guy. I don't know if your crazy guy could be your point guard. Like, maybe it's Houston.
Part of the problem. It's part of the
Mad Max. But they need a dude who just kind of, like, you know, there's been talk. Would you go after a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who can just who can still play a little bit, has proven to be a decent locker room guy in Denver in his last couple stops. He's not going to disrupt. Yeah. You know, what do you do there? Do you just kind of wait that out? Do you need another wing? I thought they should have brought in Carmelo Anthony. But obviously, everybody's left Carmelo alone, unfortunately. I just don't think he can play. Like, they've got to figure out how to fill that roster, because I think what they learned from Golden State, Mark, as you know, is the Warriors, like, winning them in waves. And they didn't even play Kuminga or Moody and barely played in Toscano. Like, they didn't even play those dudes could have played for the Celtics in the finals. The Warriors, like, said,
we
ain't even going to mess with our young dudes. We going to keep them dudes.
Right.
You know, we going to keep them dudes on ice for next year. We ain't even going to – nah, we good. We can beat you with Bechelica and Gary Payton II. We can beat you with
and
Otto Porter. We can beat you with them, and that's what happened. And I think the Celtics, and I think what I've written in Brett's, is like, you can't have just dudes holding towels on your bench nowadays. Like, you got to have guys that are not happy about not playing. You can't have 3 to 4 dudes that are kind of G-leaguers. So I think they let go of Noah Vonleh for that reason. Like, they need to get another dude. A dude is not going to maybe complain about playing time, you know, and not going to disrupt the locker room, but somebody who can contribute.
Compete. Bring
that.
Yeah.
With a little bit of crazy.
Sam Hauser's the crazy guy. Sam Hauser. That's a crazy guy.
Where is Matt Barnes? You got to have a little
Matt
crazy.
Barnes 2.0.
I think Grant Williams wants to be that, but I don't think anybody's buying
nice.
It. Ain't nobody buying it. He's too nice.
Yeah, Grant's too nice of a kid. He's a great
He's got
kid.
Like a great smile, right? Like,
yeah, he's just, crazy he got, with a great smile. He got that crazy in him. Like,
I ask every good team who we talk, you know, we talk to the people that cover the Why can't anybody like get Eric Gordon out of Houston? Like, Eric Gordon, EG's a good dude. EG can shoot.
Like, Eric is like, I'm getting paid. I'm putting buckets up. Like, I'll lose with these cats. I'm good. Like, how much does Eric win? Because Eric seems very cool being in Houston. That's the crazy part.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm sure he walks in that locker room with Jalen Green and Kenyon Martin Jr. and just like. Like, damn. It feels like he's 92 years old. You know what I'm saying?
But EG can still help you, man. Make shots.
I don't get it. Like, Eric ain't requesting no deal. Eric be playing. Eric, hey, we 10-42. I'm good. Get my 25 minutes.
He getting 30 minutes, man. He's averaging
30 minutes. I feel bad for EG. EG's one of my guys, man. He's just chilling down there.
Yeah, he's just chilling.
Hey, man, we just got through talking about teams don't have that old head like he.
Exactly. You know, he's 30, and he can still play some. That's
at 34 on that team, he's 42.
Yeah, he's 60 on that team.
Man.
Yeah, as old as a coach. Man, I mean, to me, that's one I don't get. You know,
would they be interested in bringing Jay back, you think?
Crowder? I mean, his contract is kind of what he makes $10 million. I think – salary cap wise, they'd have to trade Gallinari, and then if you're going to trade dude with a torn, you got to give Phoenix something else.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether you trade him and Pritchard or something What is Phoenix asking for? That's why I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think they're asking for a
ton. Why did they bring him back when Cam Johnson got hurt? Why did they not?
Well, he don't want to be there. I mean, he clearly doesn't want to be there anymore.
Like, I don't understand. And I Jay was a great dude to cover. He was a mean, like, he was that dude that liked to walk into the visiting arena and was like, he just He just like, he liked to be the bad guy. He liked
That's what I'm saying. Like he filled a role for them.
Yes, I think he could be a great addition. But Phoenix gonna want something back, and it's like that just hasn't been addressed. That's what that's like the Eric Gordon thing. Like y'all just gonna let this go? Like you just go? Yeah. You know,
that's crazy. And you're only paying him five, really, now. Yeah. At this point of the season, you're paying him five, not 10, you know? So,
It's you know, I said, but salary cap, because I looked into that, it would have to be like a Gallinari and then Pritchard or something like that. Right. Where you give Phoenix something, but you don't know. We don't know what the Suns want, what they need, because they're all, I mean, God, half the team is hurt. Yeah. And what they're looking for. Are they going to be, you know, I'm not saying they're going to throw in the towel in the season, but what are they going to do with the trade deadline? Because, you know, it's not good when your head coach don't talk to your starting center. Like, that's a kind of a bad sign that chemistry ain't quite right when Ayton and his head coach.
I know. It's bizarre, man. It's bizarre.
I mean, they screwed Ayton on the contract. They didn't pay him his max. They matched the Pacers' offer by 15 cents. And brought him back by.
They straight paid Price is Right with that dude. Like,
that's your number one overall pick.
I go $1.
Here you go, DeAndre. $1 more. Like, come on, man. You can't do my man like that. That was some shrewd stuff right there, man.
I mean, they could, though. That's all.
That's restricted free agency, right?
One overall. Like that, what's that payback for y'all not taking Luka? Like, what is that for?
You know,
like,
oh man,
I don't know.
crazy. All right, G Wash, man, it's been great, man. Appreciate you jumping in on this, man. This is always love the Celtic talk. Never a dull moment up there, man.
Not at all.
y'all worried about them Nets yet? They worried about them Nets yet?
I don't think they're worried about. I mean, I think. Come on, guys. We're all waiting for Kyrie's next extravaganza here. We're all waiting. What's going to happen in the world that makes Kyrie turn his head and go?
You don't think he's done enough for this year? Come on, man.
No. Something about to go down. Like, we all know it, man.
All right, wait. I got to ask you one more thing. Anybody asking Belichick? Yo, man, your record without 12 is pretty.
It's bad.
It's pretty pretty shady.
It's bad.
Come on, man.
It's bad.
No offs again.
Yeah, and then you know, naming your Bluto Brutowski as your offensive coordinator, Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're talking about privilege. I mean, my goodness.
Oh my God.
You know, but they, yeah, that
Matt Patricia
crazy.
Ain't get fired yet.
No, it's been 2 days since the season ended. He still got his job. Yeah, they got to make some changes up in.
Boy, Lovie Smith didn't make Sunrise.
You know what I'm saying? Damn.
He fired him after his post-game presser.
He didn't even finish his post-game meal yet.
No, he won the game and cost him Bryce.
Bryce Young.
That's because he knew he was getting fired. He was like,
I'm going out like, you ain't getting no more L's on my record.
He was like, Rocky, soupy for what? Like,
right. Get out of there. That's cool. I know this is my last NFL job. I'm going out with a dub.
You know what I'm saying? Just throw that flea flicker. Let's go.
I don't know.
Oh, man. All right, y'all. Leave that 5-star review for us on Spotify and Google Play, Apple, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Marcus. Them folks can't leave 5 stars. What they need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters.
Haters. We're out. Later.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.